Blog Talk Radio.
Mardi Gras, put your hands together.
Praise the Lord. Once again, you are now in tune to Are You a Liability or an Asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show. I am Executive Director and host, Brother James Brown Jr., and we do come to you live from Detroit, Michigan, each and every Thursday and Saturday night from 8 until 9 p.m. I'm asking all listeners, as I always do, please get your Bibles, get your pens and paper ready so that you can follow along with the man of God. In the person of Deacon Marvin Cox, he's going to be bringing the word on tonight. He always shares with us an inspirational poem. He's going to share his poem first, and then he's going to go directly into God's word once we get to Deacon Marvin Cox. So please get your Bibles, your pens and paper ready so that you can follow along as we go through God's word together on tonight. I'm asking all listeners, if you would please go into prayer with me at this time, because we serve an awesome God. Why? Because he can hear and answer all of our prayers at the same time. He is the Most High God. So right now, we're going to go to him in prayer, and I'm asking each one of you to pray with me. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, it's in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son. It's in his name that we come once again to give you glory, honor, and praise for who you are. We bless your name on tonight because we know that you're worthy to be praised. We know that there is none like you in all the earth because you have all power in heaven and earth in your hand. You neither slumber nor sleep. You cannot lie, fail, nor change. You are not like man. For this we are grateful. So now, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, we ask that you will forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions, starting with myself and my entire family on both sides, from the youngest to the oldest. Also in the person of Deacon Marvin Cox and his family, from the oldest to the youngest, of every faithful, committed doer of your word all over the land. Heavenly Father, you know who we are and you know where we are. So we ask that you will forgive us of all of our sins in the name of Jesus Christ, so that our work for you on earth will not be in vain. Therefore, we can move forward and complete our God purpose in the earth for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Heavenly Father, we also come now in the name of Jesus Christ, lifting up all those that are sick and afflicted all over the land. We know that you are the chief physician who have never lost a patient. Heavenly Father, we know that you are the one that is able to direct the doctors to find out whatever the problem is so that they can correct it with your help. So we ask that you will move by your spirit, touch, heal, and deliver those that are sick and afflicted in their minds, spirits, and bodies, those that are suffering with PTSD disorders, and those that are dealing with the desires of wanting to commit suicide, those that are dealing with mental stress. We know that you are the healer, and there's nothing too hard for you. We know that you are able to heal, deliver, and set free your people on tonight. So we move by your spirit in the name of Jesus Christ, asking that you would touch, heal, and deliver as only you can in the name of Jesus Christ. And Father, we also lift up all those that are bereaved on tonight. Comfort and strengthen them as only you can. Let them remember and know that earth still has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal. We also, Heavenly Father, come in the name of Jesus Christ, lifting up every listener. Should there be any on tonight that is not saved in your Son Jesus' name, is our prayer, hope, and desire that something will be said on tonight. It will prick their hearts to the point that they will be able to open their own mouth, even on tonight, and confess their sins and transgressions, and they will ask your Son, Jesus Christ, to come into their hearts and save them. And once they're saved, they will come to know, walk in and live in and fulfill their God purposes in the earth for your glory. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And Father, we also want to lift up our president, and not only him, but every world leader, Heavenly Father, that have hidden motives or agendas. We lift them up to you, Lord, that you would touch their hearts in their minds, that they will be able to show love and compassion towards your people. It's our most desire and prayer for them that if they're not saved in Jesus' name, that they too will become saved in Jesus' name on tonight. For your glory is our prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. And finally, Lord, we want to lift up every listener. Continue to bless them, grant them the desires of their hearts. And Father, we ask that you will help us to decrease on tonight so that you will increase in us, that your word will go forth with power. Through Deacon Marvin Cox, that your word will be received in love, that you will be glorified is our prayer. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. All those that are touching and agreeing with this prayer said amen. Well, on tonight, we do have another spiritual food for thought. Tonight's spiritual food for thought comes to us saying, and it goes to me, for me as well, I'm not exempt. It goes for all of us who are believers in Jesus Christ. This is the word, what the word of God says, but this is the spiritual food for thought for tonight, for each one of us. And it says, the world will know you are mine, talking about Jesus. The world will know you are mine by the way you show love to others. Once again, tonight's spiritual food for thought. The world will know you are mine by the way you show love to others. I tell you what, on tonight, we're not going to do a music break. I know Deacon Marvin Cox has another inspirational poem for us he's going to share with the listeners on tonight. And so we're going to get ready to receive Deacon Marvin Cox right now. He's going to share with us his inspirational poem first, and then he's going to go directly into the word. But before he do that, I want you, the listeners to know that I do welcome all comments and feedback from the listeners. You can email me at all lowercase james_brown1558@yahoo.com or on Facebook. But you must first go to Blog Talk Radio. So I'm asking you to please go to blogtalkradio.com/servants, ambassadors, vessels. And once you get there, please click on follow. So right now, I'm excited to bring forth once again Deacon Marvin Cox. He's getting ready to share with us an inspirational poem, and then he's going to go directly into God's word. So now I yield the mic to Deacon Marvin Cox.
Thank you, Brother Brown. Once again, I thank the Lord for this wonderful opportunity that he has bestowed upon me to bring forth his word. It is an awesome responsibility, one that I do not, under no circumstances, take lightly. I just am so bubbling over today for this opportunity to bring forth his word. Won't tarry before you long. The poem that I have to present to you tonight is one of the favorite poems that the Lord gave me. It's not mine. The Lord gave it to me to give it and to share it with others. And it's called, Lord, You Are My Everything. And it's about being totally sold out to the Lord. In order for us to do that, we must leave all things behind. Some things that we could just give just a small portion of our time and attention to, and we might be successful at it, but we have to give all of our time and effort and love and well-being to the Lord so that he knows that every minute that we have to spare, that we're going to bring forth his word, not only within our heart, but to others. Now, the poem for this evening is, Lord, You Are My Everything. You are my logic and my reason. Lord, You are the meaning of my season. You are my harvest in the fall, my flowers in the spring. Lord, You complete my life, for You are my everything. You are the words that roll off of my tongue, the air I breathe that fills my lungs. My hope for a brighter day, a compass when I lost my way. You are the sunshine that keeps me warm. Lord, You are my shelter during a storm. You are a melody that causes my heart to sing. Lord, You are my everything. A gentle whispering wind, my savior, my inspiration, my best friend. Without You, I don't know what I would do. Lord, I am the person that I am because of You. Words cannot express, or the most delicate scale couldn't measure, the value of Your love, Lord, for You are a priceless treasure. Your hope shines brighter than the noonday sun. In my heart, You will always be number one. You protected me from loneliness, Lord. You protected me from the world, Lord, when You took me under Your wing. Now is a good time to let You know, Lord, You are my everything. Amen. Now, I'm going to immediately, Brother Brown, you gave me the green light to go right into the program. Okay, I'm going to go immediately into tonight's program. And this also is a wonderful program that the Lord has given me to give to you. I just thank Him once again for this opportunity because in studying this, word, God's Word says, study to show yourself approved. But I found out some things that I had never looked deep enough or never had the curiosity to find out why these things are so and why these things come to be. Now, we're coming from two scriptures tonight. We're coming from the book of Isaiah, the 58th chapter, verses 6 and 7. And then immediately we'll be going over to the gospel as recorded by St. Luke, the 10th chapter, verses 25 through 37. And I'll be reading to you from the King James Version of the Bible. And it reads thusly for your understanding and for your hearing. It reads, is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou coverest him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. Okay, now that was Isaiah, the 58th chapter, verses 6 and 7. Now I'm immediately going over to complete our thought for today to Luke, the 10th chapter, starting at the 25th verse down to the 37th verse, and it reads also, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master,
what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, this is Jesus speaking, what is written in the law, how readest thou? And he answered and said, thou shalt love thy God, with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, to them, thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Now this is the lawyer speaking to the Lord. And Jesus answered him and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wound, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more when I come again, I will repay thee. Which was now of the three, which now of these thinketh thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves. And he said, he that showed mercy on him, then said Jesus to him, go and do likewise. I've just read unto you from the book of Isaiah, the 58th chapter, verses 6 and 7. Then immediately going over to the gospel recorded by St. Luke, the 10th chapter, 25 through 37. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the doing of his word and his will, and may he edify our souls forever. Now, if we were to concentrate on a thought tonight, that thought would be, neighbor, I got you covered. Now, we're going to digress here back to Isaiah, the 58th chapter, and if you notice, Isaiah had fasted. And see, fasting is a very, very important part of a Christian's life. See, fasting is a purification process. And if done properly, we have purity of thought as well as purity and cleansing of the body. Now, some people, they might fast for one day, 3 days, 30 days or so. But with each advance in days that you fast, the more clearly that one would think. Now, fasting has an adverse effect upon the body. I'm going to give you a little history of fasting. After the first few days, one begins to have a salty taste in their mouth. After so many days, then the body begins to repair itself. All of those bones and everything that's been broken, that old scar tissue began to repair those things, those wounds that we had previously, they began to heal themselves. About halfway through, our thoughts clear up. We began to think more pure thoughts. We began to feel better. We had boils, even boils may come upon your body to eliminate the impurities that have been accumulating in your body to to contradict, to counteract all of those bad things that we have been putting in our body and ingesting into our body that can be harmful to us. Now, we know that God says he made everything and everything is good, but see, we're supposed to do certain things in moderation. We're not to, you know, for those that drink or whatever. I mean, this back in the day, wine was used as a substance because, see, Brother Paul, he drunk wine because he had a stomach ailment, and the substance from wine, it coated his belly. So we know that the grapes, they have a coating, but if any time you take the fun out of fun or take something out of something by overindulging in it, it becomes your taskmaster. So we know that fasting has not only mental and spiritual, but it has physical therapeutic benefits unto it. So we're going to move right along. And so from there, we know right around at the end of your fast, your thoughts are more clear. All the things that they're more pure, you have purified yourself, because as I said, told you earlier, it's a purification process that we must go through. So Isaiah, you be in the right frame of mind. You know how to deal with adversity. You know how to deal with situations that normally would send you over the edge. So Isaiah had just got finished fasting, and his thoughts were on other people. You become, instead of selfish, you become selfless. So he began to think, as it says in chapter, as it says in 58th chapter, it is not to deal thy bread to the hungry, that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house. When thou see the naked, that thou cover him, that thou hide thou not thyself from thine own flesh. So see, Isaiah knows that it's some problems that we face almost on a daily basis where we become so entangled with our own self that we very rarely think about the effect that our actions have on our neighbor. So we're going to digress back here to verse number 6. And it says, is it not that the fast that I have chosen? See, this is a thing that Isaiah did, that he knew that it would be benefit in it, not only for him, but for others as well. And he specifically chose this particular fast to do what? That I have chosen, to loose the bonds of wickedness. See, some people fast for certain things. Some people might fast because their children are being disobedient, and the sacrifices that we make in that fast, we fast and we pray that those things, or that we see improvement in our children. And also it says that to undo the heavy burdens. So when I see my brother or my neighbor suffering, sometimes we have to go there, bond, and do things and stand in proxy for our brothers and for our sisters. And also it says to undo the heavy bonds. If you notice, it said to undo. So these things that we see, these changes that we see that our brothers and our sisters and our loved ones, as well as our neighbor, go through, we know that they can be undone. We're not supposed to give up on our brothers or our sisters. And moving expeditiously along to let the oppressed go free. So there is bondage. Some people are being held prisoners and held in bondage and held in captive by things that they cannot control. But see, this is executive clemency, where all those things that they charged with, all those things that they are burdened down with, that they will be released from these things. Because some of us don't have the knowledge, or we don't have the strength, or we don't have the will to constantly go and fight these things off. Some of us don't even know how. We know that we got a problem, but we don't know the first way or the first thing to do to get rid of these problems. All right, at the end of verse number 6, to let the, and that ye break every yoke. And see, we know that a yoke around someone's neck is a burden. We know that we cannot allow ourselves to carry this yoke, because see, that yoke will hold you down. That yoke will put limitations upon you. There's only so much that you can do with a yoke around your neck. And also, I'm going back to verse number 7. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry? So Isaiah is saying, it's time for us to start sharing. It's time for us to cover our brother. It's time for us to cover our neighbor. It's time for us to do these things, go out of our way to satisfy the needs of those that are less fortunate than us. Okay, the second phrase of that is that thou bring the poor, that thou cast out, that are cast out to thy house. See, it's going to be some beggars that come to you. Isaiah is saying, don't turn them away, cover them. And see, we know that the expression for covering somebody is, I got your back. Don't you worry about this. I got you covered. I will pick up your tab, as we will soon find out. And also, moving right along, with thou see the naked, that thou cover him. And there's a lot of examples in the Bible where people cover their nakedness, because, see, that nakedness represents shame. It represents humiliation. It represents embarrassment. It represents frustration. If you go back to the book of Genesis, when Adam, when he came into the knowledge of who he was, and he was naked, and he in the cool of the evening, when the Lord was looking for him, and the Lord asked him where he was, he told the Lord, he said, Lord, I'm hiding from you. The Lord said, why are you, and I'm just paraphrasing here, say, why are you hiding? He said, because I'm naked. He was trying to cover his shame. And so the Lord told him, who told you that you were naked? Because other than that, he was oblivious to the fact that him and Eve were not clothed. And so when he explained to him, then the Lord had promised, he said, your eyes will be open when, if you eat of this fruit. So moving right along in the book, we're going to talk about Noah momentarily. Noah was drunk, and he was naked, and his sons came upon his nakedness. But see, what they did, they backed into the room to cover his shame. Now, we know that there are some people, it said that he was drunk. So we know that there are some people who may be drunk in foolishness, who stand before the world naked, who are humiliated, who are embarrassed, who really know not what it is that they're presenting unto the public. So Isaiah is saying to cover the naked. And our next, in Luke, we're going to examine what exactly does this mean. But this means to hide their shame, to stand in the fold for them, to be a proxy for them, as I said. And Isaiah also said that, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. Now, we're talking about relatives here. We're talking about kinnery. You know how sometimes kinnery can and will get on your nerves. But see, if you're not in the right frame of mind that a fast will bring upon you, then you will reject them. They could come to you, and you can hide from them, even be in their presence and hide from them, because you don't want to reveal to them what it is that they need to know. Our first thought is, look, you're getting on my nerves, and you're really beginning to irritate me. So we're talking about the world. We're talking about our neighbors. We're talking about our friends. So right now we're talking about that neighbor. So we're going to move right along to where we can really get into neighbor. I got you covered. See, that takes a personal responsibility for each one of us to bring forth that comfort, to bring forth that healing, to bring forth that necessary element that is missing from our loved ones, even a stranger. So I'm going to go over here to Luke, the 10th chapter. I'm going to read it once again, the 25th down through the 37th verse, and it reads for your hearing. And this is the parable of the Good Samaritan. It said, "Behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, 'Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?'" See, now, that right there, phrase right there, we knew that it's conceivable that this lawyer did not have any good intentions, because he tempted the Lord, he tested the Lord, he tried, which the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the scribes, they were always trying to catch the Lord up into something that he said that was not true. They tried to always bring him down. So these lawyers, we know that the job now of a lawyer is to catch someone or to impugn someone or to prove that someone is not being truthful over a matter or to sue someone. So we know that a lawyer, and that's the job. There's nothing wrong with that. Because, see, the Lord is our lawyer. The Lord will go into the courtroom and he will prove to the world that we are not who they say that we are. So there's nothing wrong with a lawyer. But the Lord is the best lawyer that the world has ever known. But these little slicksters, these lawyers that tried to catch the Lord up by asking him questions, by asking him what they considered to be tricky questions. They also did that when they were saying, when he was saying, "Who is thy brother and thy mother?" And thy brother. I mean, and the Lord told them, "Those kinnery are the ones that do the will of my father." He said, "Master, what should I do?" But you see that the lawyer did submit himself unto the Lord. He said it to him, "What is written in the law? How readest thou?" So the Lord turned around and asked him a question. The Lord was good at that, by answering a question with a question, or throwing that same question that you asked right back at him, right back at you, excuse me. And so the lawyer answered and said, "That thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy might and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself." Okay, now we're getting into the neighbor. We're getting into the neighborhood. So the Lord, the lawyer answering the Lord, saying that you're supposed to love your neighbor as yourself, love the Lord with all your might, all your strength, all thy heart, and so forth and on. So they were going back and forth, and the Lord said, and he said unto him, "Thou answered right. This do, and thou shalt live." So this is a requirement. The Lord is asking us to love our brother, love our sister, love our neighbor as ourselves. To love the Lord with all our might. Don't hold nothing back. That's what I was saying earlier, that we must be sold out in order to give the Lord what is required of us to give. Okay, I'm going to have to move along because I think I'm lagging behind a little bit. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, "And who?" Which was a fair question. "Who is thy neighbor?" And Jesus answered and said, now this is the parable right here. "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, so the Lord stayed with him overnight. When he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him and that fell among the thieves? So the Lord is asking the question. He said, neighbor. He said, which one of these three? Because see, the Lord always spoke in parables of threes, or he normally would speak in threes to give us a perspective on each one. So the Lord was asking the question, which one of these threes, was it the priest, was it the Levite, or was it the Samaritan that was his neighbor? And so, and he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do likewise. Now we're going to get right into the priest, and I'm so glad that the Lord gave me this particular lesson, because up until now, I took the preacher's word, and I was left to my own thoughts concerning how the priest passed him on one side, and the Levite did the same thing. And I was wondering to myself, I said, wow, these are holy men of God. Why would a holy man of God see somebody in distress and bypass him? Why would they not pay him no attention? Why would they not even say, do you want me to call the police? They just kept on going. But as I began to read and study, the Lord opened up my understanding, and he told me that, okay, the priests, they were the caretakers of the temple. They had an obligation to perform. They had back then what is known as corpse impurity. So if they came across something or someone that was dying, even to raise a hand over this individual, they did not want to take this disease or whatever back to the temple. And see, at that time, anything that leaked from the body, say that they beat him up real bad, they left him half dead. So quite naturally, if you get a wound, we know that if you burn, liquids are going to flow from your body. We know that it was a time that they would consider a woman unclean at a certain time of the month, and nobody was supposed to have anything to do with her. So I said to myself, that was really cruel. But then as the Lord opened up my understanding, the priests were very strict. They did not want to take any, and the priesthood was strict. They did not want to take anything that would contaminate the church or the temple back to the church. So they considered secretions from the body as being unclean. They considered them as being impure. So they didn't want to have anything to do with it. So their first obligation was to the church. The first obligation was to the temple. They had to learn about the literature. They had to learn about the ways of the people. So being a priest was just more than just being a holy man of God. And likewise, see, the priests, they came from the tribe of Levi. And in order to be a priest, your daddy had to be a priest, and his daddy had to be a priest. So it come from a long lineage of priests. So the priest held up his obligation. And see, we know that sometimes we know that religion is a tradition and a duty. We know that sometimes those traditions supersede what is right for an individual to do. Because when the Lord, in another parable, he was telling the people, he said to them, when I was hungry, you didn't feed me. But Isaiah said that after he got finished fasting, that he would feed the hungry. He said, when I was naked, you didn't clothe me. He said, you did not cover me when I was in jail, you did not visit me. So the disciples are scratching their head trying to wonder, Lord, when did this event take place? But see, the Lord let them know and he reminded them that the least you do to these, my little ones, you do it unto me. So the Lord was telling them it don't necessarily have to be me per se, but anytime you offend one of my little children, anytime you mistreat one of my little children, anytime you break the heart of one of my children, you're doing the same to me. So we have to be careful of how we treat people. We have to be careful of how we entertain a stranger. But getting back to the Good Samaritan, we know that the Good Samaritan, and to give you a history on him, see, the Jews and the Samaritans did not like one another. Some might even go so far that they say that they had a for real hatred for one another. So we cannot compare. And see, some people, allegorically speaking, was trying to compare that Samaritan to the Lord. But see, that right there crosses me up, because see, I know that the Lord had no guile in his mouth and he hated no one. But he was just giving an example of hospitality. And see, we're going to talk about that hospitality coming from that Samaritan. If you notice, probably in your community, in your state, in your city, there is a hospital that's called Samaritan Hospital. Whereas we take care of our neighbors, which this Samaritan did. So his love for his fellow man superseded the hatred that he may have had for him. His love caused him to have compassion on him, which when we see, and this is going to answer the question, neighbor. So we're going back to the question that the lawyer asked him at the right around the 25th or the 26th verse of St. Luke, the 10th chapter, where the lawyer was asking him, of course, trying to trip him up, who is my neighbor? Well, I got news for all the listeners out there. The whole world is your neighbor. The whole world is my neighbor. It's not restricted to the person that lives across the street, or the person that lives next door, or the person that lives around the corner, or that person that lives in my community. The whole world is my neighbor. That's why when we see these disasters and we know not these people, it does not hurt us to send aid to the disaster relief victims, because those are our neighbors. See, we so confined in our way of thinking that we will believe in a heartbeat that that's not my neighbor. But this Samaritan did not know this man. This Samaritan took him and all the things that was mentioned in Isaiah. He fed him. He took care of him. He bound up his wounds. He even went so far as to clothe him up and to bandage him. It didn't make no difference whether the man was leaking all over the place, whether his wounds had perforated, or whether his wounds were infected. That made no difference to him. But see, I'm going to go back to the priest, and I'm going to explain to you a reason why he probably just kept going, as well as the Levite, because the Levite, no doubt, was taught by the priest. And once a person of authority teaches us something, we normally follow their authority or follow their rulings as long as we think that it's right. So I want you to imagine with me, if you will, the controlled environment of a hospital room. Or we're going to even go so far to say a surgical room. Everything there has to be sterilized. We know that the doctor, he sterilizes his hands. We know that the scrub nurse, she sterilizes her hands. We know that the anesthesiologist, she or he sterilizes their hands. We know that even the equipment that they use, they autoclave it, which means that they heat up the temperature for these instruments to over 2,000 degrees to remove any and all germs that may go to these instruments. We know that if they got a cold, if they're sick, that they inspect each other, look at their fingernails and all of this stuff to keep from contaminating, to protect themselves, okay, as well as to protect the patient. So, and any time a doctor loses a patient to infection or loses a patient to something that's unclean, then they hold that doctor right there responsible. So his reputation sometimes is more important than that actual patient. He don't want to have a record of having a dirty operating room. That's why when you go to your restaurants or you go to places that need to be sterilized, then those places, they scrub them over, the kitchen and so forth and on, even your restroom, all these places you got to go over with a fine-tooth comb, because even when a person has a cold, you don't want to shake that individual's hand because germs can be transmitted through touching. Even sometimes when the person sneezes and you're across the room, you will always say, hey, you gave me your cold. So it wasn't that the priest did not care. It wasn't that the priest didn't have time, but he kept on going about his business because I say that coarse impurity, he did not want to take no contamination back to the temple. And when he went back to the temple, you better believe the other priests that were in the temple, they looked at him carefully just in case he had come in contact with something or someone. They checked him for broken bones and broken skin and runny noses and all of these old kind of things. So, as I say, any secretions or any fluids that came from the body. You notice when the body is in good working order, don't have no leakage, don't have no spillage, or nothing like that. But when the body is getting rid of something, see, even sweat, they say sweat is waste product coming through your skin. So they want to make sure that this is the priest, want to make sure that he did not contaminate the rest of the people, the rest of the congregation. Likewise, the Levite. By him coming up and these teachings being passed down to him, he also, even though he had spiritual authority to take care of the business of the church at that time, but he had less authority than the priest. Just like in the church, we have what is called delegated authority. You might have in the Baptist church, you might have the preacher, you might have the deacons, you might have the motherboard and so forth and on, but each one of these persons have what is known as delegated authority. In the Catholic Church, you might have the Pope, you might have the Bishop, you might have the Rabbi and so forth, but each one of these individuals has a different position. So in order not to compromise, and I say it, and I never had the curiosity to ask myself, why did the priest pass by this man on one side? Why did the Levite pass by on the other side? But this Samaritan, this one that you could see his name on the hospitals in your community, because it's just about a Samaritan hospital in every community, in every state, you can find a Samaritan. And it got the sign of the cross up there. So the Lord said the same thing that the Samaritan did. This go and do likewise. That is your neighbor. Your neighbor is everybody. Your neighbor is not, as I say, restricted to the man across the street or the lady down the street or people next door, the people around the corner, or the people that live 5 blocks away. Our neighbors are the whole world. And it's time for us to start being good to our neighbors, because sometimes we look at things, because it does not have a direct effect upon us, then we don't respond to the need of that person right there. Because there's no reason for when hurricanes and natural disasters occur that we don't respond. There's no reason that we should just look at that and just sympathize and empathize with these individuals and not want to give or lend a helping hand, or not want to go into our cabinet and get that soup or something that's been in that cabinet for a long time, not want to take up and box up all the different canned goods that we have in our cabinet, or the dry goods, and just, or the toilet paper, all these things are helpful. But so God's word is telling us tonight, neighbor, I got you covered. When I'm in distress, I should be able to call my brother, even if I don't call him, if he get word that I'm not doing too good. He should say, hey, don't worry about it. I got you covered, you know. And you know, are you able? You could ask me this. I won't be embarrassed. You know, I know you haven't worked in a long time, but are you able to pay your light bill this week, this month? You should be able to come to me and say, I got you covered. Be able to ask, you know, you know, do you need something? I got you covered. Now, Job and his friends made a pact that if one of them gets sick, that these brothers would leave families behind to come and attend to the needs of that brother. So ask yourself. And Isaiah told us not to hide from our own flesh. Ask yourself how many of our brothers and sisters and neighbors have been in need. And as I said, because it did not directly affect us, we never took the time out to say, brother or sister, I got you covered. Because I'm more than sure each one of us spend on foolishness, things that we want, you know, that bottle of pop, make some Kool-Aid. But no, we just got to have the most expensive bottle of pop, or got to have that Häagen-Dazs ice cream, or we got to have that one thing that we really don't need, but we got to have it, instead of saying, no, some people are going to get mad at me. Could say, no, I'm not going to play the lottery today. I'm going to send this $10 to somebody who really needs it. I know there's going to be a lot of people that call in and get mad about that, but there's a lot of things that we spend on trivial matters. But neighbor, I got you covered. Who is my neighbor? The whole world is my neighbor. The man might say, well, hey, I can't take care of the needs of everybody, but there are certain needs that the Lord would direct your attention to that could be met. Even with a kind word, you could cover somebody with a kind word, somebody that's going through something. You could call them and say, hey, you know, I was just thinking about you, and I want you to know that I'm here for you. And they might know that you don't have two nickels to rub together, but just that one call can mean so much. So my brothers and my sisters, I'm appealing to you to cover your neighbor, to cover your neighbor with love. Don't hide yourself from your own flesh. To feed the hungry, to do, to cleanse that body like Isaiah did, not to pass up people that is in need, thinking that, well, somebody going to come along and help them, because we have a personal responsibility to do. As the Lord told the lawyers at the end of the parable of the Good Samaritan, he said the same thing he did. He picked up the tab. He said, I got the tab. Say, don't worry about it. If you ain't got enough, if this don't cover him for his expenses, his bandages, his food, and all the things that he needs, when I come back, I'll give it to you. When was the last time you picked up the tab for somebody? When was the last time you said, I got this, don't worry about it? So then I'm going to leave you with a question that I answer. Who is your neighbor, and are you willing? Even the Lord's word said that strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. Mm-hmm. So this means that we ought to cover our brother. We ought to hide and cover up their shame, cover up their humility, their humiliation, cover up their nakedness, cover up their frustration. So neighbor, I can't speak for nobody else, but I got you covered, because nothing that I have is more valuable than doing a service for God to my brothers and my sisters. So may God bless you and may ever keep you. Thank you for the privilege of your time. I'll now turn you over to the hands of Brother Brown. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. What an awesome word for such a time as this. A much needed word. Someone needed to hear that word on tonight. A powerful word, a true word, straight from the Lord. So I pray that someone was blessed by this word and that you can be strengthened after hearing this word and that you will know without a doubt that you are your neighbors. You are, in other words, there's another question pertaining to this that comes to mind. There was a question that arose in the Word of God. Someone asked a question. I don't remember exactly who it was, but he asked the question, Am I my brother's keeper? And so the answer to that is yes, we are our brother's keeper. And who is our brother? Not only those that are saved in Jesus' name, their sisters and brothers in Christ, but those that are not yet saved in Jesus' name, they too, we need to do as the word says, because he said in his word also that the poor we will have with us always. And as we see the handwriting under the wall, God is showing himself strong in the earth through the weather. That's why we are experiencing and seeing so many disasters of all forms and types and kinds that's going on and around the world today. God is speaking through the weather. He is letting the world know that he is in control, and we need to get ourselves together and get right with Jesus Christ, those that are not saved, and come to know him as your personal Lord and Savior, and ask him to come into your heart and save you, even on tonight, if you're not saved, because that's what the enemy wants to do, is continue to trick the people that are not saved in Jesus' name, who are still spiritually blind. And that's why they cannot reach to the point and become aware of that, yes, everyone is our neighbor. We are to look out for one another. That's what the Word of God is letting us know. And that's what it goes back to my spiritual food for thought for tonight. There was an on-time spiritual food for thought. I had no idea of what Deacon Marvin Cox was going to talk about on tonight, but that's how the Lord works, and he confirmed it with the spiritual food for thought for tonight. Once again, it says, the world will know you are mine by the way you show love to others. So that coincides with today's message. That's an on-time word on tonight, and spiritual food for thought, that's how the Lord works. So that's confirmation that God's word is true. I pray that you have received this word on tonight and that you have been strengthened through this word. You would take a self-examination of yourself. And then if you have fallen short, you ask the Lord to forgive you in Jesus' name. And that way you can move forward. And that way you will now know, after hearing this word on tonight, that we are our neighbors. We are to look out for one another. In other words, we are to look out for one another. The world, everybody in the world, mankind, they are your neighbor, they are my neighbor, and we are each other's neighbor. So that's why we are to constantly be on the lookout for anyone that we can lend a helping hand to, be a blessing to. And the Lord will sometimes direct you to certain people or certain individuals, and he will speak through you, to you, through his word and through his Holy Spirit, and let you run right into that individual that you need your help, that he directed you to, so you can be a blessing to do either that or speak a word, a kind word into their lives. So that's what the word was about on tonight. We are our neighbor and brother's keeper on tonight. Know that. That's what, according to the word of God, a powerful word. I pray again that you be blessed by it. Thank you, Deacon Marvin Cox, once again. We're going to close out in prayer, as we always do. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, is in Jesus' name. We honor and praise for who you are. We thank you for your grace and your mercy, even your sufficient grace toward us in spite of ourselves. We thank you, Lord, that we know without a doubt that we are flawed, but we are still favored by you, those that are saved in your Son, Jesus' name. So now, Lord, we ask that you will continue to move by your Spirit in the lives of your people all over the land, because you have servants and vessels and ambassadors all around the world. You have people everywhere. So you're using us individually, continue to use us individually, and then as a corporate body of believers all over the land, that your will be done in us and through us for your glory, that we will be witnesses to you in the earth, and that through your word and through your Holy Spirit and through our lives, that we will be able to draw others to Jesus Christ through your word, Lord, and through our testify that they will be see themselves and they will also come to know Jesus Christ and ask him to come into their hearts and be saved in his name, and that you would be glorified is our prayer in Jesus' name. Continue to move by your spirit over the airways through this worldwide platform. That you would be glorified is our prayer in Jesus' name. We pray. Amen. That's the word for tonight. I pray that you was blessed by the word. I know I was very well blessed and inspired through the word, as usual, through Deacon Marvin Cox on tonight. So we're going to close out on tonight saying that I love you. God loves you even more. Do find yourself in a house of worship tomorrow, wherever you may be, giving God glory, honor, and praise. Why? He's worthy to be praised. Until the next time, good night.